Good morning, and I want to thank the Harvest for giving me this opportunity to come again. This is the third time. I hope that I'll be able to come again, if possible. But you invited me and also gave me the opportunity to speak from the Word. This morning in our Sunday school, I shared some of the things the Lord had been doing in our country and the neighboring countries, and I had a PowerPoint presentation. And first of all, I want to thank Pastor Jacob for giving me this opportunity. Along with that, I want to thank all the elders for accepting me and Jubilee Memorial Bible College for the last several years. You are partnering with us in this great ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. To bring out the transforming power of the gospel into the hearts and minds of the people. It is happening, and I talked about it this morning. And also, especially, I want to thank Jim and family for giving me, hosting me, and allowing me to use their house for the couple of days that I have been staying there. And all my dear friends, I have been, the Lord helped me to come over to U.S. This is probably my six weeks in the United States and Canada, and so much of travel. But the Lord enabled me to share His greatness to the people, and the people are be part of our ministry in all these years. What is happening with JMBC, Jubilee Memorial Bible College, and its ministry? There are new things are happening, and that also a subject for thanking God and for His faithfulness. And last time when I came, I talked about, we wanted to establish a retreat center, a training center for the lay men and women, and we were able to consecrate it last year, and the programs are going on. Especially we were able to train the young men and women, I mean for the lay men and women who are already working somewhere, and but they wanted to be part of the ministry which is happening now. And also, we have a boys' home, that means a home for the destitute children, orphans, and which he established, and now it's going on quite well. But we don't have a big number, only 14 kids, but we want to bring so many children who are actually waiting to come to our facility. And also, we are in the process of establishing a school, school for the community. These are the various ways that we can witness the Lord in our place and even beyond. So this is an English medium school which we wanted to start from K to 12, and the government has given us the permission to start the school, and the construction will take place, I think, in a few months' time. And in this, all these things, please keep us in prayer, and we need God's strength, especially in a context where we face so much of enmity from at least certain quarters of political power, which you may be aware of. The new government is not very positive to the minorities, like Christians and Muslims. Are other minorities, especially Christians. Christians are a soft target to the enemies always, everywhere. See, you look at the place, whether it is in Iraq or Syria, the most affected ones are Christians, and of course, Yazidis also were there. So everywhere that is the case, I think it simply shows that we are not the citizens of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is a temporary place. We have to fulfill our responsibilities faithfully, and then we will go home. And probably that is the best thing. Even in China, you know that the Christian church is growing very fast. the underground church is bigger than the official church. And in our country, the forces of darkness is trying hard, but the Lord brings hundreds and hundreds to the fold of Christ. And this is, we need to praise God for that. In certain times, Satan is trying his best, even in this country. But you know that our God is the victorious one. He will give us the ultimate victory. But our part is that whatever happens around us, our responsibility is to be faithful to Him in whichever condition we are in. That's what we are trying to do. For that, we need your prayer support more than anything else. As you prayed for the Colombian church today, if you can keep us in your prayers on a regular basis, we will be appreciated, because we encounter with the spiritual realities, the power of darkness, on a daily basis in different forms, whether it is demonic possessions or the oppositions from outside and inside. It is in probably, it may not be very much, you may not be familiar with such kind of situation. Unless we need the spiritual support from people like you, your other side of the globe, we will be helpless, and we need your help in this regard. I want to tell you some of this thing. Some of our own students, they are recent converts. They come from non-Christian backgrounds or animistic religions. So, see, they are under severe pressure, emotional pressures from families and community. They were totally cut off from the community. It is not like the Western world. When you take a decision, whichever way, in your faith position, it doesn't affect, you can live probably comfortably. No one would harass you for that. But in India, especially in the Eastern culture, a person belongs not only to his family, but belongs to the whole community or the village. They all will completely cut him off from the community. He is not a place to go for. You understand, a young man of probably 22 or 23 years, he is totally disconnected from his communities and families. How he will feel? I, as the principal of the college, on a daily basis, I encounter this. So much of loneliness, and a person alone, of course, his community Bible college is the only thing. And so we need to pray for them. So we are under severe emotional pressure. And I believe, I do not know how you believe, the dark forces, in the sense that the evil forces also will be in so much of action. So they want these people, and even personal threats, physical harassment, and also even the killing is at the same. So we need your prayers. Thank you for your financial support to Jubilee for doing all these things in a small amount of work in our country. In the morning, I talked to the Sunday school class that it is around, the population is 1.3 billion people. It is more than one-sixth of our, one-fifth of this population of the whole world in our country. And it's a great second largest mission field in the world. And Christian population is only 2.6%. And among them, evangelical Christians are a minority. Catholic Christians are the most one. How we will be able to reach this nation and even the neighboring countries? Of course, we can do that. There are signs are happening in that direction. So please continue to pray for us and appreciate your help in this regard. So please, for our meditation, a brief meditation today, I want to speak from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Verse 11 also. Therefore remember that for merely you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without go into the world. I understand the motto of Harvest is the mission and the service. That is the thing which I have seen today in the thing. See, we are called to worship God. That is the primary calling. And that's what God wants from us. In that process, we study the Word of God. It's very central to our life, in our personal, in our family, as well as in our community as we come together. And also, we are called to witness the Lord in various forms. Mission is very central to Harvest and to us, because we are called to do that. And that is the reason why you involve not only the mission here in Omaha, but also the mission in Colombia and Romania and even in India. Why do you need to do that? Is it somebody forced you to do that? Definitely not. It is out of love. We know that as Christians, the disciples of Christ, and we are part of this great mission and to the service of God and the people. So my point, this is as a church, no, everyone, wherever you are, in India or in the United States, there are common principles which we need to follow. And one of the purposes of the church is to the service. Service, the word Greek is diakonia. And it is somewhere it is referred or translated as ministry. Service to God and service to people. Now, the worship, we call it is worship service. This is a service. We are here to give something to the Lord. What does God want from us? God doesn't really need our money so that he would be rich, because he's already rich. He wants you and me completely. So today we committed, dedicated to young children for the glory of God. He needs you and me. That is a service. Our singing, our prayer, our Holy Communion, the Holy Table, all are part of our worship. We are giving to the Lord. We are here, we are here to give something to God more than we get from God. Of course, God will give his blessings to us as we come to the church. But today's world, you know, most of the churches cater. When they come, they want to receive something rather than to give. That is this world. Churches are there to fill the selfishness of the people. But we recognize here in Harvest that we are chosen by God for his service, to witness, to serve God and serve others. When we serve others, we are in fact serving God. And that's what again is said, that some people say in 1 John we read that some people say that I love God, but then God is asking the question, if you don't love your brother, how can you say that you are loving God? Loving God and loving people happen at the same time. If you serve God, definitely, without any doubt, we will serve others. Serving others here in this community church, definitely, we try to help the needy in the church. Emotional need, physical need. We try to help the people who are around this neighborhood. And I understand that you have a ministry to the people around. We are not self-centered people. Of course, we need to take care of ourselves. But that is not the life is all. We are concerned about people in the church, our fellowship. We are concerned about people in our city. We are concerned about the people in our nation, United States. You are concerned about the people in other nations, such as India or Colombia. Of course, probably you may want to do it more than that, but that is not the thing. God has given you the call to serve others. And we are, again, I want to affirm you that we are in the right track. That's what I am saying there. A self-serving church will die out without, it doesn't need a lot of time to finish it off. So we'll continue to serve the God and serve others. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, Colossians 3, 23 and 24, we read that, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as worship for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. I remember one of the stories of our own graduate, and this single woman was working in an IT company, and she was very smart and came out of a very prestigious school in our country. And then she worked very hard and reached in a managerial position. Finally, she became one of the directors of that company by the age of 35. Very accomplished woman. And she came from a non-Christian background, but he came to the Lord and she started to read the scripture and to have fellowship. And finally, she would found that this is her call to be out of that job. She was doing very well, in fact. And now she is a missionary in a place called Arunachal Pradesh. If you get time, when you go home, you will see that it is at the corner of eastern corner of India and the Chinese border. A single woman who accomplished a lot for the Lord, in her workplace, everyone were looking at her as a model, a person, so that others would be able to follow, but received a call from the Lord, and she came out of that ministry, and now serving the needy people in one of the most unreached province of our country, Arunachal Pradesh, border of China. Is it a foolish thing? According to the human standard, worldly standard, even in our country, many people felt that was a foolish decision making. But for her, she's 100% convinced that she heard the call from God. She had to simply obey, and she is working for a Bible translation project. We call this New Life Bible Translation India, translating the work. So chosen by God for his service and the service of others. What's the message for us? I think I am not saying anything new to you. I think you have heard all these things. But I want to make sure that please continue to be there where you are. And make sure that we continue to follow the pattern of service. We are called to serve God and people of this world. And that is our calling. It is not a waste. You are investing in people, the souls. And where you haven't seen most of the people whom you are partnering with. But one thing we know, that we are investing in people. Second thing which we read about service is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. It reads, "You are not saved by your good works. You are saved for good work or service." The second thing which I want to tell you, that if you are saved by the grace of God, and it is a natural thing, it will happen. When the love of Christ comes, you don't need to force yourself to serve. I have two girls. One is 22, another one is 18. And they, you know, the teenagers always, they don't, in at least in our country, they don't really want to, I mean, they want to play around and they don't want to help their parents all the times. I don't know how it happens here. Probably you are training your children very well, praise God. But, you know, we have difficulty at times, but they are great kids, I don't have a question, but, you know, setting up the table or arranging their rooms clean, and we always have a little tough time. Sometimes they say that there is a beauty in a mess. That's what they say. I don't know that is there, but I haven't learned that way. Anyway, but a few days back when I was in Edmonton, Canada, I got a call from my wife. She says that today I did not prepare breakfast, but my daughter gave me, what do you call it? So it is a Mother's Day. Wow, is my daughter changed that much? She said that was an expression of her love towards her mother, at least for a day. What I am trying to say this one is that, you know, when you love a person, I know that you will be ready to do anything for that person. If I love Jesus, if I love people, I will not have any hesitation to do the things which they need. What Jesus wants from us, and simply understand it and respond to it. When I studied in the United States for 6 years, and it was such a great place to live, and you can fulfill any dreams if you really are on the right track. And I haven't faced any major issues here. And very generous people, loving kindness. At least in my case, I want to tell you that. And my children loved this place. Always, they say that we lived in Atlanta. They loved that place. If they come to Omaha, definitely they would have loved this place also, you know. And at the last year, I said that this is the time for us to go. They asked, what? Why do we need to go? Then we say that, and the Christ's love forces us to go or compel us to go, or there is a calling for us to go. And they say that, of course, you got the call, but we didn't get that call. Of course, after several years, that happened in 2007, after 10 years, they are thankful to us as parents that we took them and to understand Lord's faithfulness in their life. What I am trying to say is that when we are compelled by the love of Jesus, nothing can stop us. There are several stories to tell. I know that you love Jesus. That's why you love people. You love us. I am different from you in many ways. I don't look like you. I don't speak like you. My food habits are different. But still, you love me. You accepted me as one among you because we love Jesus. I think we are in the right track. Please continue to be there. That's what I want to say. Don't you know this? Definitely you know this. I also knew that you knew it already. But I wanted to assure you that we are in the right direction. How do we know that we are truly saved? 1 John 3:14 says that by loving. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death, because the world will know that we are truly saved when we love one another and love others. I know that this world is lot of enmity, lot of violence. And we don't trust each other. And I know that one nation doesn't trust each other. People do not trust each other. We may smile, but we may not trust. There is a lot of mistrust is going on in this world. If you read world politics, you understand that. I am aware of that. But only we can do that. Only we can bring a change, a healing touch. I am telling you again, only disciples of Jesus Christ can bring a healing touch. If we can't do that, nobody can bring it. So even in our country, our leaders, our politicians all know that Christians can do it. When there is a problem, we are the first one to enter. When there is a severe natural calamity, Christian organizations such as World Vision and Samaritan Purse come and for help first, before even the government agencies come. In our own city, there was a flood last year. The first groups came into that city was Christian agencies. Not by the request of the government, but that is our compulsion. Our own small Bible college, the students and all of us went around and helped people, and we made food packets and gave away to the people who are in need. Nobody asked us to do. But this is a natural response. Natural response. Why the people, country like United States, and basically, though I know that U.S. is no more a Christian country, I know. But the Judeo-Christian tradition that you hold for the last several, probably centuries, still influence people's quality of life and the nature. The world may not understand that. And that is a simple truth. Because I lived here, I understand. And the reason is that it is a natural response to the love of Jesus. We are called. And the result of redemption is service. That's what I want to say. The result of redemption is service. And of course, we are appointed for service. We are appointed for service. In Ephesians 4:12, we read, to prepare God's people for works of service. I know that this church takes care of children, young people and old. And we need to teach the generations about the quality, the need of service. I have been traveling from place, not only in India, in other parts of the world. But I understand one thing I am more and more realizing. I don't know how you understand. The people are becoming more and more self-centered. How do I know? I started my first trip to outside of India in 2001. And during that time, the telephones were not very popular. I mean, of course. Today, all are in their own world, whether it is in the airport or in the flight, everywhere. No one talk each other. They will do this thing. We are in a world, I'm just giving, is it wrong? I do not know. But I'm talking about within 10, 15 years what I have seen. I would like to talk, but they are seeing serious business. What shall I do? In all this journey, yesterday I had an experience. One person, one lady, probably 60 years old lady, smiled at me first time in the air flight. This is a world of self-centeredness, selfishness. Is there an alternative lifestyle are we able to give to our generations? That's a call for us today. It happens even among the Christian churches, not only here in the United States, even in our country. I would say that that is the characteristic of this world. I mean, Bible very clearly says that at the end times, people will be self-centered. So we are appointed. So I think we are appointed for service. And the Lord wants us to tell. In Matthew chapter 25, you know, great the parable is said, no, it says that Matthew chapter 25:40, we read, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. You know the story, so I don't want to take time. Dear brothers and sisters, our needs are completely, you know, always, if you are catering our own needs, there is no end in itself. You cannot fulfill all our desires. We have more and more to acquire. But even with our own needs and our own weakness, our own helpless condition, there is a place for us to extend a space for others. And people are in need. People are hurt. Even in your neighborhood, in your street, in this country. I can understand. People are lonely. People are in need. They are looking for people to listen to and to have a touch, a word of comfort, or a prayer, or a good gesture. This world needs me and you as the people of service. But for that, we have to forego some of our own little spaces. This morning, the call from the Lord is that, are you ready to give little of your space for me and for my people? The decision is ours. Still, we can keep everything for us. And we can rule as the kings and princes and the emperors. This world belongs to me. This is my life, you can say. I'll choose my own way. Even if they don't say, that is the thing. But we Christians cannot say that. My life belongs to Jesus. My belong to God and to people. And seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, all things shall follow. That is the meaning. If Bible is not practical, certain part of the Bible is not practical, I don't think we need to take anything. Either you take everything together or leave it. May God help us to continue to walk in His steps, so that we may be blessed, our generations would be blessed, and our nations would be blessed, our future would be blessed. Future is in your hands. I don't know. With my own understanding, I share my concerns to you. Hope that the Lord will continue to speak to all of us and to be closer to Him, and so that we may walk in His steps. Thank you once again for giving me this opportunity. May God bless all of us. May God bless Harvest. And may God bless all of us together. Even if we don't see each other here in the face of the earth, we know that we will meet each other on the other side of eternity. God bless.